my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalms 139 and 14, continuing in our series entitled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. We said that this series is about knowing who you are in God and having confidence in his plan for your life. The writer says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And so the writer, he has this relationship with God. He understands who he is in God. He's been through enough stuff to realize that God made him who he. I like the part where he says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In other words, another translation says that in the depths of who I am, I know who you made me to be. And I think that is so important in life that we know who we are in God, because if you know who you are in God, you're not easily moved by anything someone says, a situation that you might go through, a challenge that you might go through, because you understand, no, but watch this, I might go through something, but that doesn't define who I am. You got it. Only the word of God defines who I am. So I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I am the apple of his eye. I am the object of his affection. His favor surrounds me as a shield. I am a child of the Most High God. I understand who I am. And so one of the biggest keys to really having confidence in who God has made you is really, to be honest with you, learning to overcome fear. That's something that a lot of people deal with, fear of the past and fear of mistakes that you may have made, or fear of situations that you went through that it might happen again, fear of people and how they perceive you. How many know you can't worry about those kind of things? You got it. And fear will cause you to appraise the possibility of losing when you have not lost. If you're not careful, the Bible talks about how fear has torment. You got it. And the enemy, he shoots all these fiery darts. He shoots all these negative thoughts to tell you, what you're not capable of and what's not going to happen. And then he tries to tell you all the bad things that are going to happen. And so that's why the writer says that we have to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God. Watch this. And bringing every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And how many know sometimes that can be a full-time job? You got it? Because the enemy will tell you, you can't do this. You got to tell him, yes, I can do this. So anytime the enemy comes at you, you got it, you can't just let him keep talking without you talking. You have to respond. But what we do is we respond with the word of God. And so you have to learn to stay in the fight. I always say, if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. If you keep swinging, you are going to hit something. The thing I've learned about fear that I want you to understand, which is really good, is that fear is dispelled by choice. So you can choose to fear or you can choose not to fear. And most people don't understand that because, in their mind, they say, no, it's deeper than that. No, it's not. You got it. It's not. No, the enemy wants you to think in your mind that it's deeper than that. But watch this. It is almost like turning on a switch. I got a question. Everybody that came in the room tonight and the seat that you're sitting in, did you think about the chair before you sat in it? Right? So you're telling me that you were fearless. Joe, bring me a chair. So you mean to tell me that? No, bring me my chair. Praise the Lord. I might sit down for a few minutes. So you mean to tell me that you were fearless to sit in that chair? So you didn't think anything about it. Right? So thank you, sir. All right, let me just do this right here. Oh, I sat in there real good, didn't I? So you didn't think about it. Just like, watch this. Just like you had a fearless attitude as it relates to the chair that you just sat in, is the same fearless attitude that you have to have in everything that happens in life. Because the Bible says, watch this, that the enemy has no power over you, that he is totally powerless, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He does go as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but all he can do is roar, because Jesus stripped him of his power. power over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Does that make sense? So I really don't have anything to be fearful of. The only thing that you're really fearful of are just these negative thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind. And so just like you came and you sat down with no thought, you got it, is the same way that you have to approach everything. Fear is dispelled by choice. David says in Psalms 56 and 11, in God have I put my trust. In who, class? And that's the key. I don't put my trust in systems. I don't put my trust in men. You got it. I don't put my trust in money. I put my trust in God. So he says, in God have I put my trust, and I will not. Everybody say, I will not. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. You see how he made his own decision that he was not going to be afraid regardless of what was going on. You know, people was coming after David. People were trying to kill David. David made it up in his mind that it does not matter. I am not going to be afraid. I will not be afraid. I'm making a conscious decision that I'm not going to be afraid. And that's what you have to do. You got it? When you get a report from the doctor that's not so favorable, I'm not going to fear death. Does that make sense? People say, you know, I'm afraid of flying. No, you're not afraid of flying. There's, you know, what you're afraid of is the plane getting into an accident and you dying. You understand what I'm saying? So, but if we're not careful, you'll live your life like that, and fear has torment. You got it? But the Bible says that it is perfect love that casts out all fear. And so I submit to you that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, you got it, that should grip you in the realm of fear, because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And when you receive Jesus, you receive all of who he is and everything that comes along with him. Does that make sense? So you receive the anointing, you receive strength, you receive power, you got it, you receive grace, you receive everything that you need. So you have to learn, watch this, to walk in that liberty where Christ has already made you free. And I'm not going to be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. I'm not going to allow fear to grip me again the way it gripped me before. No, I will not be afraid. I remember when I began to learn giving years ago, and God began to start blessing us and those kind of things. And I had made God some promises that, like, God, if you will bless me, you know, I'm talking about beyond normal tithes and offering, I will be a blessing. I will do this. I will do that. And my wife and I, we were just, you know, I mean, we were just being such a blessing and, you know, writing big checks and do all those kind of things. And I remember the devil, you know, telling me, you know, you're going to end up in some little old apartment giving all your money away. Because I'm going to know that, you know, the devil doesn't want you to give. Why doesn't the devil want you to give? Because he understands that if you do give, you got it, that the supernatural supply will show up in your life, because he even understands that giving works. So what I did was I just let the devil know, I don't care. You know, because he's like, you're going to end up, I don't care. I'm not moved by any of those things, because I know the word of God. And to the degree I apply the word of God and stand on the word of God is not going to let me down. Does that make sense? It's not going to let me down. All right, if you're going to give me a clap, give me a good clap. I'm working as hard as I can up here, all right? So we must move from a place of fear to a place of unrestricted faith if we are going to see God manifest his promises in our lives. Unrestricted faith, that I just believe God no matter what. I believe God no matter what the bank account looks like. I believe God no matter what the doctors are saying. I just believe God no matter what. Because watch this, my faith is not based in a report. You got it? My faith is based on the word of God. This is the only report I believe. I believe the report of the Lord. And to the degree I'll walk this out, I know I'm going to be all right. So weapons may form, they ain't going to prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know who I am. I'm going to walk in the confidence that God has already given me, and I'm going to see God do amazing things in my life. All right? So let me give you another scripture before. I haven't even gotten to my points yet. This is just my introduction. All right? Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. I'm really starting at the middle of verse 1. He says, fear not. What did he say, class? He said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have already set you free. He says, I have called you by name and you are mine. Man, what a statement that God makes to his people. And then watch this. He starts declaring some things in your life in verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. What a scripture that he says, fear not, don't worry about a thing. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. In other words, can't nobody mess with you. Does that make sense? You know, if I get a call from the school, something's going on, you got it. How many know I'm going to be there just as fast as I can? And I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I make sure that my children are okay. Why? Because they're mine. You got it. And I need them to know everything's going to be okay. If we are like that with our children, how much more is God like that with us? Amen. Does that make sense? All right. And so, in other words, he said, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to break your heart. That I'm going to stick it out with you, not just in the good days, but in the bad days and in the ugly days. I don't just want to be your Sunday God, but I want to be your everyday God. I want to be your Monday God. I want to be your Tuesday God. When all hell breaks loose on Wednesday, I want to be that same God that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, that I am going to be with you. And that is, watch this, that is how, that is why we are able to walk in this confidence, because we know that God is always with us. We know that he's never going to leave us. We know that he's never going to forsake us. And that is why David said, in the depths of who I am, I know that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. All right, three things that I want to share with you tonight as you move forward in who God has made you. Three things you need to know. Number one, I must know my purpose. Everybody say, I must know my purpose. Number two, I must know my potential. Everybody say, I must know my potential. And then number three, everybody say, I must know my possibilities. All right, let me just kind of talk to you, break these down. Number one, I must know my purpose. I must accept my role in him and be faithful. You got it? I want to give you a principle for everyday life. You always hear me say that the Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles, right? So I want to give you a principle for everyday life. This principle that I'm going to show you, I'll show it to you in the spirit, in a spiritual form, but then I'll also show it to you in a natural form. Let's put up on the screen Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 9 and 10. You've heard me quote this before. It's probably been a long time. The Bible says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. What happened to Paul? A vision appeared to him, right? So a vision appears to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Watch this, verse 10. Everybody look at verse 10. Watch this, here we go. And after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we, who is we? The other people that were on Paul's team but didn't see the vision. Does that make sense? Amen. He says, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia. Watch this. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Who got the vision?
Paul.
Paul got the vision. All right. But watch this. Even though Paul is the one that received the vision, those who were on Paul's team said, okay, Paul got the vision. We're going to get with the man of God. We're going to run with the vision. Does that make sense? All right, so understanding my purpose keeps me from having an identity crisis. Let me talk to you about that, because too many times in life, we're walking around having an identity crisis because we don't really know our purpose in life. I said it on Sunday when we read Ephesians 2 and 10, where he said that we were really designed to do good works in the earth and to live an incredible life. Y'all remember that? All right. So now when I understand my purpose, that ultimately my purpose is to impact people's lives in an amazing way. I can do that in a lot of different ways. My purpose is to make a difference. I can do that in a lot of different ways. So even, watch this. So my purpose may look, or the way I fulfill my purpose may look a little bit different from the way you fulfill your purpose. But watch this. But even in the grand scheme of things, on the outward, if it may look like yours is better, it's not really any better, because we're all fulfilling our purpose. So you're able to do what you're able to do. I'm able to do what I'm able to do, and I don't have to feel bad about anything. When I understand my purpose, I can celebrate what God is doing in your life without becoming bitter that it wasn't me. Okay, all right. I'm going to just kind of work on this, all right? So now, watch this now. I'm going to read it again, all right? I'm going to read it again. I always say for the people in the back. So maybe I should say for the people in the front this time, so the people in the back don't get upset with me, all right? So I'm going to read it again for the people in the front, all right? When I understand my purpose, I can celebrate what God is doing in your life without becoming bitter that it wasn't me. So if I see that God elevates you, I don't have to get upset. If I see that God is using you in a certain way, I don't have to get upset. Praise God for what he's doing in your life, but it does not take away from the fact that I still have purpose. Does that make sense? And that God wants to use me in a specific way that might be different from what he's doing for you. So he might be doing it in a way with you where everybody's seeing it. He might be doing it in a way with me where it's on my job with just 10 or 12 people. Do you not know that those 10 or 12 people are just as important that with God is using somebody else to reach 500 people? Does that make sense? Okay, all right, I'm going somewhere. Y'all waking up with me now, so we about to go somewhere. So now I can be comfortable in my own skin. Now I can feel good about me without having to hate on you. All right. So let's look at this thing in the natural. So if the boss picked you over me, I didn't lose any value. Jesus. Why is that? Because I understand you might be the quarterback, but you still need an offensive line. This whole thing is working together. We are one body. Watch this, many members and every joint supply. Look at you and say, that young man is teaching. I knew he was going to come up here and teach tonight. See, you got to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God has designed you specifically to make a difference in the earth. He has given you purpose and it may look different than somebody else's, but you can't be comparing yourself to what somebody else does because we went to the scripture on Sunday. The writer says that when we do that, we become unwise. So now I feel good doing what I'm doing. Because let me help you. If you ever live your life always trying to compare yourself, you're always going to lose. Because there's always somebody doing something better than you. Isn't that right about it? Yeah. I mean, our church is an incredible church. You got it? We're doing amazing things. You got it? But if I start trying to size myself up to somebody else, there's somebody that's bigger doing a little bit more than we are. You understand? And so, but watch this. So we can't walk out like that. We've got to understand that we are all on the same team. And when we understand that we are all on the same team, there is really no big eyes or there's no little use. So the person, watch this, that is up on stage, you got it, is no better than the person that cleaned the bathrooms before we got here, you got it? Because we need everybody working together as a team, because when we get the end result of people raising their hand saying, I want to give my life to Christ, when we get the end result of people raising their hand saying, I want to join this ministry because it's making a difference in my life, when we get people raising their hand saying, I want to be baptized or I want to rededicate my life, it's not just one person. It's because we all came together collectively and did our part to make a difference. Does that make sense? So you got to remember that. You got to remember that. So next time something's going on and everybody's around and all of a sudden, you know, the boss praises somebody else and they didn't praise you even though you did something, you did not lose any value. You got it. And the reason you can't lose any value is because they didn't give you value. Your value came from your Father in heaven. Does that make sense? You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. So your value does not decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. You are God's prized possession whether they realize it or not. Does that make sense? So you got to know who you are. You just got to know who you are. Anybody that knows me will tell you that I didn't just start acting like this when I became a pastor. I've always been a happy guy. I've always been an exciting guy. I've always been a motivated guy. I've always been the kind of guy that wanted to help push somebody else. I've always been like that. You got it? I've just, why? Because I understand that my value is never based in my title or position. Does that make sense? And it's the same thing with you. It's the same thing with you. And so you got to understand that you are valuable just the way you are. You don't get, so let's talk about material things. We thank God for houses and cars, and I believe that God wants to bless all of his children with things, and that looks different for all of us based on what we're believing for and those kind of things, but your value does not increase because you got a new car. Does that make sense? Now, if you get one, you know we're going to celebrate with you, understand? But I'm saying it doesn't increase if you got a bigger house. Your value can never increase based on materialistic things because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. You got it? Your value, watch this, is based on the fact that Jesus paid an incredible price for you. And never, ever forget that. So there's nobody that's better than anybody. We all have the same value because we've all been bought with the same price. That's a good place to give the Lord a big hand praise. All right. So I must know my purpose. Everybody say, I must know my purpose. Man, and when you, listen, when you understand that, it is so freeing. It is absolutely so freeing. I remember when we were on Noose Boulevard and we had just started the church, and, you know, we didn't have 50 members. You understand? And I was, you know, had joined Association of Independent Ministries with Apostle Hilliard, you know, and I'm going to the first conference. You got it. We might have 25 members, but I'm walking up in there. You would have thought I had a million members. You got, not because I was walking around with arrogance, but I was excited to be there. I wanted to learn some things. And people were like, how's your ministry? I was like, oh, man, is going great. The Lord is doing great things. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Lord is not doing great things based on numbers. You understand? The Lord is great doing great things based on the anointing, because it is the anointing of Almighty God that makes the difference. It's the anointing that destroys yokes. It's the anointing that causes your marriage to get better and your money to get better and your children to get better. So you have to make sure that you're looking at the right thing, because the enemy is always trying to get you to look at the wrong thing. But if you can learn how to take your eyes off the wrong thing and see the right thing, it'll change your whole perspective in life. Does that make sense? So I must know my purpose. So it's so freeing. It's so freeing. It's so freeing when you don't have to feel like you got to size up to somebody. Let me go a little bit further. It's so freeing to come to a church like this where you know, don't take this the wrong way, but nobody cares if you're making $10 an hour or $100,000 a month. We don't mean that, you know, in the back. We love everybody. So when you came up on the parking lot, we don't care what you came up in as far as what you dropped. Now, like I said, I'm not saying that in a mean way, but I'm saying we don't value you based on that. So our love, Lady LaConte, now our love for you is not based on if you got something or if you don't got something. You understand? Our love is based on the fact that you are a child of the Most High God, and it is our, watch this, it is our purpose in the earth to teach you the word of faith so you can live a better life. Does that make sense? Watch this. Because see, all that car, house, all that material stuff, that don't mean anything. Because if you start learning faith, you understand what I'm saying? Then God will, watch this, and you begin to release your faith for whatever it is that you're believing for. God will give you the desires of your heart. And so it is nice, isn't it freeing to come into an environment where nobody's trying to compare somebody to somebody else? You got it. So when something happens good for somebody, we celebrate for them. And when something good happens for somebody else, we celebrate for them. And when something good happens for somebody else, we celebrate for them, because we understand that if God is blessing my neighbor, he's in the neighborhood, and I'm just glad he's in the neighborhood. All right, I got to go, and I'm only on point one. Point number two, I must know my potential. I must know my potential. I accept my potential, that it is defined by him. Paul says, it is in him that I live, in him that I move, it is in him that I have my being. Philippians 4:13, we'll put it up on the screen, all right? Everybody, on the count of three, I just want the first two words. One, two, three.
I can.
Woo! I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. So when the devil says you can't, you got to look back and talk back to the devil and say, yes, I can. When he shoots negative thoughts, you got it, you got to cast him down. He'll say, well, that person is the same age that you are, and they're much further than you. Newsflash, everybody grows at different levels. When I was a little boy, they gave me these seeds to take home, and I had to put them outside, you know, and plant them. And you had to go so many weeks and give a report, and so many more weeks and give a report. And then by the end, you know, you take pictures and do all that kind of stuff. And one thing I learned, that even though those seeds were exactly the same, when I put them in the dirt, I same depth, water each of them every day, even though I did the same thing, all of them grew at different levels. Does that make sense? Same way we are. All of us grow at different levels. You understand? And so when I understand that I'm really not in competition with you, I'm really not behind. Does that make sense? I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. You got it? And when you learn to live your life like that, you can walk around and say, man, listen, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. And it's not based on, watch this, if I'm at where somebody else is, if I'm driving where somebody, I'm right where God knew I would be in this moment of time. And God is working on me. God is helping me. God, you understand? God is doing some incredible things in my life. You got it? And so I'm not behind. I'm exactly where I need to be. Everybody say, I'm not behind. I'm exactly where I need to be. Life isn't a scorecard, so stop comparing yourself to others. God made zero mistakes when he made you. And you got to understand that. All right. Number one, I must know my purpose. Number two, I must know my potential. And then last point, before we go home, number three, I must know my possibilities. I must know my I have to accept the fact that, watch this, that it all hinges on my beliefs. And that's not a bad thing, y'all. That's a good thing. Because that puts the ball totally in my court. Mark 9:23, they'll put it up on the screen. This has been a foundational text for our ministry since we started the ministry. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. He didn't say some things. He said all things are possible to him that believeth. He didn't say it's possible based on this criteria. He didn't say it's possible if you get to this point in life. He says that all things are possible to him that believeth. So we understand that possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. Possibilities for me are defined by how I can believe. If I can believe, it becomes possible for me. So it doesn't matter if you can't believe what I'm believing for, because watch this, my belief, watch this, is not based on if you can see it or if you can't see it. If I can believe it, it becomes possible for me. Does that make sense? All right, gentleman walked up to me not too long ago. I was going to breakfast with a member, and you know, I guess he just recognized who I was. He came with me. He said he wanted to know why we named our church Without Limits. You know, and that's a good question. You know, I don't have a problem with that. And I begin to explain to him how he is the God of no limits, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all that you can ask or think. You know, and then so he had to calm me down because, you know, I had answered his question, but I was still going. He said, "Oh, okay, I understand. That's good. I just want to know what it means." You know, but I have. I have such a conviction, you got it, that all things are possible. You got it? Watch this. The only limits that you have are the limits that you set for yourself. You got it? If you're living, watch this, on a fixed income, it's because you fixed it. I understand, you know, what people say, because on the first of every month, they get a check. But you have to understand that God is bigger than that just one check. So we thank God for that check. But he is the God that can cause multiple streams of income. He can cause favor to abound toward you. God can cause supernatural things to show up in your life. But it's only to the degree that you believe. If you believe, it becomes possible for you. So years ago, I stopped, you know, long before I was ever pastoring, I stopped, watch this, but I stopped. I stopped having faith for a paycheck and started having faith for supernatural supply. So I understand in the natural we need a paycheck, but what I'm saying is, watch this, my faith is not just based on a paycheck. So I thank God for the paycheck, but above the paycheck, I know he's able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all I can ask or think. And watch this, and if I believe it, it becomes possible for me. I'm going to say it again. If I believe it, it becomes possible for me. So watch this. I know people have different trains of thought and all those kind of things, you know, because you might like your job. You got it. But somebody told you, well, no, you need to leave that job. Well, now, if God tells you to leave it, that's one thing. But if God didn't tell you to leave it, why do you have to leave it? Do you not know that you can work that job and that God can continue to increase you through that job and then all of a sudden cause another stream to come from this way and cause another stream to come from this way because you're doing what you love to do? Does that make sense? If you can believe, it becomes possible for you. If you can believe, it becomes possible. So I must have an attitude of faith. And let me help you. In my last 2 minutes, faith is not frustrating. I'm going to look right here. I'm not going to look at you. Because somebody got frustrated earlier. And it's okay. It's okay because you're in the right house. Faith is not frustrating. All right? When I get in frustration, you got it, when I start getting frustrated, watch this, it is a sign that I'm walking toward fear. I'm not in fear, you got it, because we all get frustrated, you got it, but if I keep going down that road of frustration, then fear is going to show up. And so what happens is when I realize I'm getting frustrated, I have to correct that. How do I correct that? With the Word of God. Does that make sense? You got it? And so what I have to do is, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you got paid and you're trying to figure out bills and everything, and it seemed like it might not be, and you get frustrated, you know, and the devil wants you to keep going down that road of frustration, so he throws these thoughts. See, it's not working. You understand? You even gave your tithes and it's not working. And see, and if you're not careful, it'll take you to a place of fear, but you have to correct that. Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. I thank you that you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I refuse to worry about anything because I am in the palm of your hands and you're taking good care of me. You understand what I'm saying? You got to say what the word of God says, and you got to say it over and over and over. You got to say it when you're frustrated. You got to say it when you don't feel like saying it. You got to say it when you're overly emotional, because if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you are going to see the word manifest in your life. So everybody say, faith's not frustrating. No, when I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is doing supernatural things in my life. I am walking in joy. You got it? So how in the world can you be walking in joy in a bad situation? Because the joy I have is not based on where I am, but based on where he's taking me. The Bible says he's already declared my end from my beginning. So to the degree that I walk in joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. You got it? Watch this. If if I can remain in joy, I'll see the goodness of God. If I remain in joy, I will see the goodness of God. Right? So, Pastor, what do I do if I'm in a situation where, you know, I hear you. I'm trying to do everything you're telling me to do. You got it? I'm hearing your voice in my head, but I'm hearing all these other voices in my head. You got it? I'm frustrated. You got it? Those kind of things. That is why, you know, that is why we need accountability faith partners. That's why you got to come to a church like this and get connected so you can start meeting people and learning people. And that way you can say, you can text somebody, say, hey, girl, just pray for me. You understand? And all of a sudden, you just thought she was going to say, I got you. Next thing you know, it's this long text. Well, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that though weapons form against you, they will not prosper. You understand what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you went from a place of frustration right back to a place of joy. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so every day is a good day. Every day, regardless of my situation, every day is a good day, because happiness, I got to go, Courtney, because happiness is a choice I made ahead of time. Happiness is a choice I made. When I woke up this morning, I chose I was going to be happy all day. I chose nobody was going to get me mad. No one was going to get me frustrated and get me out of character. No, happiness is a choice that I chose ahead of time. So when you wake up tomorrow, Father, I thank you. This is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice all day long and be glad in it. Thank you that favor abounds toward me all day. Father, I thank you that nothing is going to get me out of character today. Nothing's going to make me mad. Nothing's going to rattle me. Weapons might form, but they will not prosper on today. Matter of fact, today, Father, I thank you for peace. I thank you for prosperity. I thank you for nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. You understand? I'm saying what the Word of God says. You know, if you're new to our ministry, we have confession books in the back. And so you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know all that. That's okay, because we didn't either. There was a time we didn't know any of this. So what we did was we got that confession book and we just kept reading it. Something else that we just did, we put the confession book and the prayer first journal on the website. It's on there now. So if you now you can just grab your phone. You don't even have to go get a confession book. You just grab your phone and go right to WLCConline.com. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go to WLCConline.com right now. I'm going to WLCConline. Okay, here it is. And then I hit the tab that says daily devotional. I can do the one-year Bible. I can do the confession book. I can do the prayer. I think I want to do the confession book. And then now I go to confession on the go. And then as I go to confession on the go, I said, wow, they have a whole lot of prayers. You got a confession of unity and confession of love and confession of favor and confession of authority. Oh, I need authority. I'm going down to page 17. All I got to do is just scroll. If I scroll, I'm going to find exactly where I need to be. Confession of authority. Father God, I thank you that I am your child. I thank you for giving me the name of Jesus and the authority that goes with it. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit, the greater one, the mighty power of God. In the name of Jesus, I declare I have authority over all demons, over all disease, to move obstacles, to stop problems, to calm storms, to rebuke sickness. I have the authority. I have the power in the name of Jesus. And then it gives you instructions. It says, put your hand on your head. Then you put your hand on your head. You say, in the name of Jesus, fear and doubt, leave me, be gone. Confusion. confusion be gone. Deception be gone. Heaviness be gone. Depression be gone. In Jesus' name, mind, be strong. Think clear. Be sharp. Then it says, put your hands on your chest. So you put your hand on your chest. Soul, be strong. Have peace. Be at rest. Be free. Be loose. It says, put your hands on your body. And then you speak to your body. Be strong. Tumors and growths. Anything that ought not to be in this body, I speak against you. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? When you get a hold of the word of God, it changes your life. And I promise you, I'm doing everything I can to get you the word. The thing that I'm teaching tonight, it's going to get text to you in the morning. What we teach on Sunday, that lesson, it gets text to you on Sunday afternoons or either on Monday mornings. And now, you know, one year Bible, you go up there and you read a scripture. You got it? There's an Old Testament. There's a New Testament. There's Psalms. There's Proverbs. You understand what I'm saying? If you're like, oh, I can't do it because I only got 3 minutes. Just go read the Proverbs. Get a little bit of wisdom for today. You got it? And just chew on that and watch how God will show up in that little bit of wisdom in your life. This one thing the Lord told me, though. He said, son, you can put everything. Okay, let me say it kind of like he said it to me. He reminded me that you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. So I can bring everything to you, but it's got to be up to you to say, I'm going to wake up 10 minutes earlier and just spend a little bit of time with Jesus. And what people don't realize sometimes, that 10 minutes, it's just 10 minutes. It makes the total difference in your whole day. I'm not asking you to wake up an hour earlier. Just start the day with 10 minutes. You got it? And then set some alarms like I do in my phone. Some different alarms go off. You got it? To remind me, you got it, of certain things that I'm believing for in my life. You got it? If you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with low self-esteem, you need to make you one that goes off 4 or 5 times a day. And when it goes off, you look at it, it says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. No. Matter of fact, put on there, repeat after me, you are fearfully and wonderfully. And then you forgot, and I'm saying, oh, there's an alarm going off. And then you read, repeat after me, you are fearfully. And then you say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I promise you, I know I sound like a broken record, but if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you're going to see the word manifest in your life. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the house.